preach. I was kind of hoping maybe he'd let me preach when he saw me come in, because I'd let him preach for me several times, but he didn't see fit to. But I just stayed and enjoyed the service. And I thought then, I'd like to especially ask you to call Brother Brown. I have a good man here and love him and follow him in his leadership for the Lord. But I was hoping maybe I'd get to come preach here sometime. I didn't know if I was going to get to or not. So finally, here I am, and I thank you for inviting me to be with you. And I pray that God will help me to be a blessing to you during this short time. Pray for us out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that God might bless and use us there to His glory. I want to sing, but I'm afraid to try to. My voice is not too good right now. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Now notice in the first verse that the publicans and sinners drew near to hear Jesus, and that the Pharisees murmured against that. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I wrote in my Bible, praise God. Let them murmur, let them grumble, let them complain. I'm glad that Jesus receives sinners. And then he gives, I think, three parables. Some people call them one threefold parable, and I don't argue with it. I usually just think of the three parables. But I want to read the first one. He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep? Now put that down in your mind. Got 100 sheep, and if he lose one, 100 safe, sound, and one that's lost, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? How long did he look for it? How long does it say here he looked for it? Until he found it. Until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I want to tell you a story tonight about how a lost sheep got home. How a lost sheep got home. Salvation, as pictured in this parable, is totally different from what most preachers are preaching today. They're saying, oh, you must seek the Lord. You must find the Lord. But the sheep did not seek the shepherd. The sheep did not find the shepherd. The saving work was the work that was done by the shepherd. The shepherd was concerned. The shepherd had love. The shepherd was interested. The shepherd went out looking for a sheep. The shepherd found the sheep and brought it back home. That's how people are saved. We're saved when the Lord comes and does that work of finding and lifting and carrying us to our heavenly home. A young boy was asked, have you found the Lord? Please, sir, he replied, I did not know he was lost, but I was, and he found me. The way of salvation is obscured in the modern day pulpit. Well, who is the shepherd? Well, we won't argue about that. It won't take much time with it. We all know that the good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 23 tells us about the Lord is my shepherd. And many things that are true because the Lord is my shepherd. That wouldn't be true if he wasn't my shepherd, but because he is true, all these other things are true. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 talks about him taking care of his sheep and gently leading them and carrying the young in his arm and watching after them, taking care of them. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good sheep, good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we will agree that the shepherd is the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what a sheep gets, the protection and the care and provision and whatever a sheep needs, what it gets depends on the kind of shepherd it's got. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Now, who are the sheep? And we're running into controversy, probably not with this group, but we would with many groups. Who are the sheep? Well, the sheep is not just Israel, because the Bible says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. There are Gentile sheep, and there are Jewish sheep, and they're out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. There are some who are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10:26, ye are not my sheep. There are some who are not the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some who are sheep. There are some who are goats and not sheep. Now get this carefully. The sheep are not just people already saved. Most people would tell you, if you'd ask them, who are the sheep? They say, well, they're the people who've been saved. And that implies that they were goats, and the Lord Satan made sheep out of them. But I want you to notice this sheep was a lost sheep. Was lost and needed to be found. But it was as much a sheep when it went astray, and while it was lost, as it was when it's brought back to the fold. So the sheep is not simply people who are already saved. Now follow me with this and try to get it in your mind. The Bible speaks of the elect of God. Those whom God chose of His own sovereign will, before the world began and ordained to be the recipients of eternal salvation. The Bible speaks of the elect of God as the sheep of God, the people of God, and the children of God even before they are saved. Now, I'd like you to remember that statement. The Bible speaks of the elect of God as the people, sheep of God, the people of God, and the children of God, even before they're saved. This sheep was a lost sheep, but as much as sheep lost as it was after saved. The Bible says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Jesus said, other sheep I have, they're not of this fold. Them I must bring. They're not here yet. They're not saved yet. But I'm going to bring them. So He speaks of sheep, of the elect of God who have not yet been saved. Still, they are the sheep of God. And then the Bible says, in Acts 18:10, Apostle Paul had suffered in Corinth, and he may have been thinking about just going somewhere else. And the Lord appeared to him and said, I have much people in this city. You stay here. Not time for you to go yet. I have some people that have not been saved yet, and I'm going to use you in their salvation. And they're not saved yet, but they're my people. I have much people in this city. And that was an encouragement to Paul to stay there and continue his ministry. The Bible says in Psalm 110:3, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. Who is it that's going to be willing? God's people. Everybody's not going to be willing, but God's people are. Well, you mean they become God's people by being willing? No, that's not what it says. They are willing, they are made willing because they're already God's people. God's already chosen them, and at the appointed time, He makes them willing to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Thy people, they're called God's people before they're made willing in the day of God's power. The Bible speaks in John 11:51-52 about children of God scattered abroad. and that the Lord must gather them. They are, even before they're gathered in a saving experience of the Lord, they're called the children of God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, because, now get this, because ye are sons, God sent forth His Spirit into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Already sons. They're called so by God. And then, because they are sons, we are by God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe by eternal destination, saving grace we now receive. And so they are the sons of God, and because of that, because He chose them, because He made them His people, the Holy Spirit at the appointed time works the miracle of regeneration, and they are saved. Now, the sheep then are the elect people of God. The shepherd is Jesus Christ. The sheep are the elect of God. Ah, there's that word again. There's that doctrine again. That doctrine that many people hate and detest and will stop their ears and will not hear it. They turn away their ears from hearing the truth. That word is like waving a red flag in a bull's face to a lot of people. They're angry at it. But it's a Bible doctrine taught over and over in the Word of God. It is taught so much in the Word of God who don't believe it invent a doctrine which they call election. And they say, well, God foreknew who would believe and elect them to be saved. That's an invented doctrine. That's not taught in the Word of God. But that enables a man to say, well, I believe in election. But he doesn't believe in election. As it's taught in the Bible, he believes in a theory that he's made up to try to use the Word, because you can't afford to say, I don't believe election, because it's so much in the Bible. Over and over and over, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. How, when did He write them? Did He write it there tonight you got saved? No. From the foundation of the world, before the world began, God's book with His people's names in it was closed up. There's none taken out and none added. The Bible says, as many as believe were ordained, or as many as were ordained to eternal life, believe. Who believed? Those whom God had ordained to eternal life. How many of them believed? All of them believed. Did anybody else believe? No. As many as God hath ordained to eternal life. I would despair of trying to prove anything from the Bible to a man who won't believe election. If I give him scripture, 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 and he says, oh, no, I don't believe that, then I wouldn't waste a lot of time trying to prove anything else much to him. It's a doctrine of the Bible, and it's a Baptist doctrine. Baptists, from their origin, in the days of Jesus Christ, down to this very hour, true Baptist people have believed the doctrine of God's sovereign, electing, saving grace. It's not a hard shell doctrine. The difference between the hard shell and the missionary is over the use of the gospel in regeneration. It's not over election predestination. So this is a Baptist doctrine. And then it is a blessed doctrine. If you'll just bow humbly before the Spirit and take the Word of God and read it and believe it, you will rejoice and praise God that He elected you to eternal salvation. Suppose I would preach to you that it's all up to you, and that you'll never be saved except something about you. There wouldn't be any hope for any of us. But when I say God elected a people and there was no condition involved of His own sovereign will, and you may be one of God's elect, then there's hope. And if you are one of God's elect, there's assurance that you will be saved. Now the 100 sheep. Understand, there are multiplied millions of the sheep of God. There's a great number that cannot be numbered who are the sheep of God. But the 100 sheep here represent the total of the elect of God. God elected a certain number, no more, no less, no other. And He gave them to His Son for Him to save them and keep them and bring them safe home. There's a story about a battle in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. And when the leaders of the battle report back to Moses, they tell how many of the enemy has been killed. And they said, "We've counted up our soldiers and there's not one missing." And I'll tell you, when it's all over down here and we gather yonder on the shore of everlasting, sweet, blessed deliverance, and the Lord Jesus makes His report to the Father, He'll say, "There's not one missing." He'll say, "Behold, I and the children whom Thou hast given me." How many sheep did He start with? 100. How many did He end up with? 100. All who are His sheep will be saved. All of the elect will assuredly be saved. So the 100 sheep represent the total number of the elect of God. The 99 sheep represent those already found. Many of the Lord's sheep have already been found. Our Lord did not start seeking for sheep yesterday or the day before, but I believe that He started in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve had sinned, did they seek the Lord? Did they go try to find the Lord and say, "Oh, we're so sorry"? No, they tried to hide. What'd the Lord do? He came to the garden in the cool of the day. "Adam!" And that call was effectual and brought Adam, I believe, to the experience of the saving grace of God. Abraham was one of God's sheep that's been found over in Ur of the Chaldees, worshiping idol gods, no concern about the things of the Lord. And the Bible says the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in the earth and called him and said, "Go out to a land that I'll show thee." Now people say God appears through His Word, through His Gospel, and calls them by the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. He found a sheep. Jacob was one of the Lord's sheep, and He found him. Manasseh. Have you ever read, do you know the story of Manasseh in the Old Testament? One of the most wicked men who ever lived. One of the most wicked kings Judah ever had. With a godly father, Hezekiah was his father. But Manasseh even placed altars to idol gods in the courtyard of the temple. No hope for him. And he slew many of God's prophets. The Jews had a tradition that under Manasseh, Isaiah was sawed to death. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, he shed much blood. But you know, he's one of God's elect. And when the time came, God stopped him. Had him bound and carried away in prison to Babylon. His prayer had to listen to God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and God saved him. You remember that runaway slave? I don't think I'll preach that while I'm here. But Onesimus was a runaway slave. And he stole some money from his master Philemon. That's what the book of Philemon's about. And he ran away. And he ran and he ran and he ran. And when he quit running, he was sitting at the feet of the Apostle Paul, listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God saved him. The Lord's been seeking His sheep a long time. He's found them in America. He's found them in Africa. He's found them in Uganda. He's found them in Europe. Oh, the Lord has been in this business of seeking sheep. And the 99 represent those already found, you and me. God is finished. I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. But now I don't sing it that way anymore. I love the peaceful fold. Love my father's house. Things have changed by the grace and power of God. Now the one sheep represents the elect not yet saved. God is not through saving people. He is going to save people until the tribulation. He's going to save some people during the tribulation. He's going to save some people during the millennium. There's still a multitude of people who are going to be saved by the grace of God. But the lost, this represents the lost sheep that has not yet been found. Now, let's think a little bit about the shepherd searching for his sheep. Notice here, you find no interest, no concern at all on the part of the sheep. The interest and the love and the concern is on the part of the shepherd. The shepherd does all that is done in this matter of the finding of a lost sheep. It was his love that moved him to do this. It was his love for me that nailed him to the tree. His love. Now I ask you a question. Why did he love you? I don't know. I don't know why he loved. Why should he love me so? I don't know. I know this. There was nothing in me that caused him to love me, that his love originated in his own heart. He loved me because he loved me. And that's about all I can say about that. It was the love of the shepherd that moved him to leave the ivory palaces of glory and go into a world of woe to save his people from their sins. He left heaven, all the beauty, glory, and blessedness of heaven, with his Father and the Holy Ghost and the angels of God. He left all that to come down into this world that hated him. A world that was filthy and vile and wicked and did their best to kill him and finally did kill him. But he came into this world and then he went to Calvary. Jesus Christ, why did Jesus go to Calvary? To keep you from going to hell. To pay for your sins and guarantee, assure, and secure your eternal salvation. All of that's involved in the shepherd searching for and finding his sheep. He searches for the sheep through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks and moves, speaks in the sermon, speaks in a personal testimony, speaks through people's lives, speaks in answer to prayer. And the Lord is seeking His sheep through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the church to seek the lost, to work with the Lord in seeking the lost. Now there are some hindrances to finding this little sheep. The nature of the sheep, sheep just get lost. And they don't find their way back. And they don't find themselves. It is the nature and our nature. Oh, beloved friends, our nature would keep us from the Savior forever and send us to eternal burning hell if God did not intervene. We are sinners. We were born in sin and conceived in iniquity. We are rebels against God. Oh, before God saved me, one night, 2 weeks before I was saved, everybody in there had, I was going to a holiness church, and everybody in the church come back to try to get me to go up and get saved. We had invitations like that back then. I don't do that now, but they all come back, and I wouldn't go up and get saved. And I wrote a friend of mine, I said, they're trying to make a Christian out of me and I won't let them. If God had killed me right then and sent me to hell for my devilish pride, I would have deserved it. But God was merciful and God was gracious. Our nature is against salvation. We don't want to be saved. I said, I don't want to be a Christian. I have no desire to be a Christian. I want to live in sin. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want somebody, even God, telling me what to do. That was my nature. That was my attitude. Is that the attitude of the world around us today? How many out there are saying, do your own thing. Whatever you want to do, don't let anybody tell you what to do. Well, that's against being saved, that nature. If God doesn't overcome that nature and give a new nature, no one would ever be saved. There are other hindrances. There's the hindrance of peer pressure on young people. You know the thing? I thank God that nothing can hold you back when God's ready to save you. But if I could have held back, and I got saved, the thing that would have held me back, and I was sitting next to the last row. What are you doing next to the last row? I was sitting there between Mike Bowles and Steve Sheep. And God was speaking to my heart. I didn't want to go up and make an idiot out of myself in front of those. They think I just got sick. Go up there in church and get saved. But I'll tell you, the Lord was greater. Peer pressure was there. And the devil, when the devil keeps his goods at peace, they can never get loose unless a stronger than the devil comes and sets them free. The devil will see to it that you go to hell unless God whips the devil in your behalf and breaks the prison house and sets you free. Now I want to introduce you to a word and a doctrine that used to be preached a lot, not preached too much now. The doctrine of prevenient grace. I learned that word, prevenient. It's the word prevent, and then I-E-N-T, prevenient grace. Now, the word prevent, when the Bible was translated, meant to go before. Didn't mean to hinder like it does now. Because Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. Doesn't mean we will not keep them from rising from the dead. Meant we will not go ahead of them. But they'll be raised first and we'll be changed, and then all together we'll go in the rapture to be with the Lord. Prevenient grace is that grace which goes ahead of saving grace and watches over the sheep until it's time for the Lord to find that sheep. What if that little sheep had fallen off of a cliff and died before the shepherd got there? What if the wolf had got that sheep and killed it, or the bear or the lion, before the shepherd got there? There are no what ifs with God. Prevenient grace goes ahead of saving grace and watches after the little sheep. You know, the Bible talks about angels are sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. I believe that the devil tried to kill me before God saved me. I had an experience that was very frightening. And I didn't get saved for a year or two after that. But I believe the devil would love to kill every one of us early in life before we're saved. But the shepherd's watching after us. He's taking care of us. Prevenient grace is looking after us, inspiring us. The man is on the battlefield. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, but he shall not come near thee. Many men have been on the battlefield. Pow, 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 pow. But they come home, and God saved. The grace of God prepares the way for the salvation of the Lord. Now, how long Did he search for the sheep? I've already asked you that. Did he give up? You know, people, sometimes we're tempted to give up. I imagine all of us have some unsaved friends that we've about decided they're never going to be saved. Might as well quit even thinking about it, hoping for a prayer. Don't do that. As long as they live and you live, you keep praying, God may save them yet. God's power is unlimited. God's love is immeasurable. God's elect are large number. And it may be that your loved one will yet be saved. Keep praying. Keep witnessing and see what God might do. Because there's a shepherd who never gives up. He searched for that lost sheep until he found it. And when all of the millions of the elect of God but one are safe in the fold, that shepherd will go after that one. And he'll never stop till he's got the number he started with. He started with 100, he wound up with 100. And that's how many of the elect God is going to save. Now, how did the little sheep get home? That's what I read. That's the introduction so far. Now, how did the little sheep get home? Well, the shepherd got the sheep and drew them a mat. And it's complicated, but if you find your way to the heavenly home, I'll let you in when you get there. Well, the shepherd didn't do that. Well, the shepherd said, all right, you go, and this road here will lead you to the home, but there's a wolf and a bear and a lion. He carried him all the way home. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. I was saved by grace, I'm kept by grace, and 100 million years from now, I'll be saved by the grace of God. Now, I appreciate that maybe more than some of you did. I was saved in a homeless church. And I was so glad God had saved. I was saved. A man ought to be a badger as soon as he gets a little straight thinking in his head, but I never, you know, if I'd ever been, well, I'd been in some badger church, but God saved me in a homeless church. And the next day, I was so glad God saved me. I was thrilled. I went to school. I met these boys I usually walk to school with, and I said, God saved me last night. 2 days later, I was going to school about safety. But I was happy. And then it came to me, that doctrine that they preach and many people still believe, you might lose it. Oh, I don't want to lose it. I love this salvation. I want to stay saved. I want to go to heaven. But you might lose it. If you sin willfully, who does? Had a homeless preacher come in the bookstore town one day, and he argued me he hadn't sinned in so many years, about 12, 15 years. I said, do you mean to tell me that you've not in all this time, you shouldn't do something, done it anyway? He said, well, maybe 2 or 3 times. We all sin. We're not kept by works. We're kept by the grace of God. It is the same grace that saves you, that keeps you safe. I see the shepherd going off toward heaven with the sheep on his shoulder. And I say, devil, there goes the little sheep you thought you had. Wolf, lion, bear, there he goes. Go and get him if you can, but you'll have to get the shepherd first. And Jesus said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. It's not my hand, it's his hand. And nobody, the devil will never get anyone out of the saving hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the hands of God the Father. We're in the hands of God the Son. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And how in the world can anybody believe that you lose that salvation when the shepherd does that work? Well, I want you to think about grace in salvation all the way. I want to ask you a question. Now, I want you to answer this for me.
I don't to your sin.
What did the little sheep do? Tell me. All America, Sunday, he's going to be preaching about what you've got to do. God has made the first move, the next move's up to you. God has done his part, and you've got to do your part. God is knocking at the door, but you got to open the door. How can a dead man open a door? But you got to do your part. Well, I'm just asking you, what did the little sheep do? It got lost. That's all. It got lost. It would have stayed lost. It would have died lost. It would have been in eternal hell. Of course, not sheep, but people represented by sheep. Had not the shepherd done how much? Now the Lord has done 99%, but there's something you've got to do. You ever hear about preaching like that? Something you've got to give God. I've hit a sign on the highway, almost scared to drive some of these highways. Especially after riding hard to lay today. But I saw a sign on the highway that said, give God a chance, man. Well, isn't that nice? Give God a chance. People are not saved by chance, they're saved on purpose. By the purpose of the Lord. Well, the shepherd chose the sheep. The shepherd loved the sheep. The shepherd died for the sheep. The shepherd found the sheep. The shepherd carried the sheep all the way home. What did the little sheep do? Praise God, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel so good now since God saved my soul. But what did the little sheep do? I didn't do anything. I heard of a modernist preacher asked a black man in his congregation. This black man is having a testimony meeting. I don't know what he did. And this black fellow is standing up praising God, giving God all the glory for saving him. And this modernist preacher said, well, that's the way people are saved. By the grace and power of God. The night God saved me, October 31st, 1943. What, 55 years old I'll be in the Lord by the time shepherd and saved by the grace of God. I've got to hurry up now. Y'all shouldn't start so early. If you're starting this early, I don't know, I'll preach 8 or 9 o'clock. But I probably won't. The rejoicing. The shepherd rejoiced. The sheep rejoiced. Others rejoice. And heaven rejoices over the salvation of a lost sheep. Well, who gets the credit for all this? Who do you think ought to have the credit for this story I told you now about how a lost sheep got home? Who do you think ought to get the glory? What do you think the sheep ought to do in heaven if they have testimony meeting and the sheep tells you about what you think the sheep would tell you? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Sheep, but you don't know it yet, because that's how people find out they're sheep. God saved me when I was 16-year-old boy. People say, "How you know you're saved?" Well, I was there. I had an experience that I've never forgotten about. My life has been different. It's not been perfect. Oh, I wish it'd been better. Many, many failures, but it's been different than it was before God. I'm going to ask you beforehand. All right, let's sing a song. If we can be of any spiritual help to anyone, of course, we'd be delighted to do so.
Thank you. brother Jonah, that was a message. That's a whole. It's good. It's better every time I hear
it. I'll be asked for it.
Thank you.